Imagine walking into a place where the walls are lined with portraits of Nobel laureates who once roamed the same hallways you're about to traverse. A place where students move just below jogging speed through corridors, their minds racing even faster. This is MIT in the early 1980s through the eyes of Pepper White, whose memoir, The Idea Factory, offers a rare window into one of the world's most prestigious technical institutions. What begins as an accidental acceptance, his application was incomplete when MIT mistakenly sent a reservation letter, becomes a transformative journey through the institute's unforgiving academic gauntlet. From day one, the message is clear: nothing comes easy here. When White discovers his program has no funding for his $3,700 tuition, he desperately calls professors seeking research assistantships. Professor Mikich corrects White's pronunciation of his name before bluntly stating he has no money, yet agrees to meet anyway. This baptism by fire introduces MIT's unwritten rule: survival itself is part of the curriculum. MIT's classroom intensity is deliberate and unforgiving. In Professor Shapiro's Advanced Fluid Mechanics, students race to capture 18 pages of notes per session. Professor Giftopoulos's thermodynamics problems demand 15-20 hours each, leading to an oral exam where White breaks down when struggling to define entropy. Studying in windowless library rooms, White creates formula cards to master problem patterns, yet earns C grades in both thermodynamics and heat transfer. Professor Rosenau's verdict is clear: academic probation, requiring a 3.5 GPA to continue. MIT's classes serve as filters, testing both intellectual capacity and psychological resilience. The Institute believes pressure either creates diamonds or reveals those who can't withstand it, preparing students for careers where failure isn't an option. "We got to get some A in HIG, Cap'n," says Nick Vittoro, a blue-collar technician who becomes White's mentor. Tasked with fixing a broken rapid compression machine, White follows Nick's suggestion to dismantle it and get our hands on its soul. As Glenn Miller plays, they use an A-frame hoist to separate cylinder from piston. Nick teaches White rigging and machining skills, including micrometer measurements. When they find a crack in the chrome-plated shaft, Nick welds it and straightens the result with precise hammer taps. In Course 2.70, Introduction to Design, students face a challenging contest: build a device to lift weights uphill using components from a $12,500 budget store. White creates a fire truck-style extension ladder using L-shaped beams made of epoxy and wood. The project consumes him completely, building frames, soldering electronics, and machining drive systems. Despite personal challenges, including news of his dog's death, he works through sleepless nights alongside fellow students. The machine shop runs constantly; every tool in use as deadline approaches. On contest day, White's device succeeds with 1 ounce deflection, while his opponent's grappling hook fails. Through their shared struggle, competitors forge bonds that reveal another dimension of MIT's community. MIT presents a peculiar contradiction, housing some of the world's brightest minds who struggle to forge meaningful connections. White's graduate office becomes his social anchor, shared with colleagues like Chet, West, Ari, and Ben. Outside these spaces, students from different specialties rarely mix. The competitive environment strains relationships, as when White's neutrality in a conflict between Mary and West, driven by funding concerns, costs him Mary's friendship. Among his peers is Ari, an Israeli Army major pursuing his PhD while working 17-hour days, 7 days a week for 2 years. His military background taught him to function on 4 hours of sleep, leading him to observe that, even during the Six-Day War, nothing there is as hard as this place. As classmates graduate, White's social circle shrinks, with focus narrowing to his thesis and exams. The toll of isolation becomes evident in his role as a senior house tutor, where he discovers a student's troubling noteboard tallying votes on whether to commit suicide. January's doctoral qualifying exams loom over White's PhD aspirations. Professor Haywood reluctantly endorses him despite mediocre grades, warning of two strikes. White studies in solitude through the holidays, finding unexpected beauty in physics phenomena while seeking patterns in problem sets. When White seeks Chet's support during faculty deliberations, Chet's detached response about being in Detroit deepens White's depression. He views the process as dehumanizing. They examine you like a bolt, either placing you with other high-priced bolts or throwing you in the scrap heap. Breaking protocol, White and Ben share their anxieties. Ben confesses, "If I don't make it, it'll haunt me forever. Every time I see some MIT expert on TV, I'll think, that could have been me." The exam challenges students to apply fundamentals to novel problems. White's score of 60 out of 100 falls short, with Rosenau suggesting he view it as merely an unsuccessful application process. After failing doctoral qualifying exams, White transitions to practical engineering work. His first post-MIT project involves installing control hardware at a small hydroelectric plant, where a developer's lawyer's casual remark about court requirements offers his first glimpse of real-world business practices. Rebuilding confidence, he attends Peterson School of Steam Engineering, studying practical systems his MIT-trained mind once dismissed. His instructor, a contractor, reminds him that brilliance isn't confined to prestigious institutions. White's career spans consulting work from Romania to local housing authorities, where he advocates for vulnerable populations during heat emergencies. Though MIT dreams still surface 15 years later, he recognizes the Institute's true value lies not in technical knowledge alone, but in fostering resilience and problem-solving skills. The intensity of MIT prepares graduates to navigate complex challenges and persist through difficulties, teaching not just formulas, but methodical and creative approaches to unclear problems. Throughout White's MIT journey, the human cost of excellence becomes painfully clear. When Professor Hill announces a student suicide, it highlights the crushing pressure students face. White's clinical analysis of Mary's suicide, calculating carbon monoxide poisoning details rather than processing grief, reveals how deeply MIT's mechanistic thinking affects students. The crisis peaks with Steve Watson's disappearance and eventual discovery. His desire to even up the score with MIT speaking volumes about institutional pressure. These incidents expose MIT's paradox, a place that cultivates brilliant minds while sometimes breaking them, where competition undermines empathy and mechanical thinking obscures human suffering. Yet moments of genuine connection exist, like Doc Edgerton's personal mentorship of White's photography project. MIT's contradictions, nurturing innovation while clinging to rigid traditions, raise essential questions about excellence's true cost. The Institute's lasting lesson may be that genuine progress demands balance between technical achievement and human well-being.